Filmcore. So, welcome to a Thanksgiving edition of Filmcore. We have Chris Whitman in Northbrook, Greg Brecker in New York City, and myself in Chicago, Alex Kirschenbaum. We are here to talk James Bond. We have 25 James Bond movies that were ranked, and we have some differing opinions on where those movies should fall. Hello, Chris. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I think the first thing that we should touch on is the rankings. What do you think, Christopher Scott Whitman, about our list? My thoughts and Greg's thoughts on that list.
I think the most egregious one was, what's the Halle Berry movie?
Die Another Day.
Yeah, that is a garbage fire. I totally agree with Greg's take on that. I thought the franchise was over after seeing that movie. So yeah, hate that movie. And that made like the top of part two, right?
Top 10, man. It's Alex's top 10.
Yeah. It's number 10.
That's pathetic.
See, I liked Die Another Day because it was campy and it embraced the camp without being too Roger Moore, like latter day Roger Moore, like, beneath it, you know, where it's like dismissive of itself. I thought Die Another Day was sort of in there and it was trying to be like a slightly more serious Austin Powers, basically, like with a bit more style.
Which also, like, everyone's favorite Bond is, or Brosnan Bond is Goldeneye, so I understand why that ranks so highly. That was fine, but my favorite is Tomorrow Never Dies, which, so the fact that the Halle Berry movie was on top of a lot of other movies and on top of Tomorrow Never Dies was trouble for me. And then I guess the other big place is, I mean, because overall, how does it break down? You mostly put a lot of the best, most like canonical Connery films in your top eight in part three, right? So that makes sense. But the hard to understand one there for me is Goldfinger over Casino Royale.
Really?
Yeah, especially when you the podcast you gave me to try and understand Goldfinger was just these two women explaining all of the terrible, sexist, awful things that have not aged well about that movie. And like joking about how the technology for the action choreography and special effects hasn't lived up. So that's a great movie. I could have seen it in the top eight for sure, especially because it's got the golf scene in it and it's in Kentucky, two things that I love, but but over Casino Royale, don't really understand that.
Damn, really? So that podcast, for clarification for our two or three listeners, is the James Bonding podcast from Nerdist. It's really funny, everyone should check it out. And it's these two guys named Matt, and in this particular podcast, the Goldfinger podcast that Chris is talking about, they have their girlfriends on, and their girlfriends are not big James Bond people, astoundingly, which is very disappointing in their girlfriend selection. But that's whatever. And so they just rip on the Connery Bonds, which are totally sexist for sure. But you know, that doesn't take away from the fact that Goldfinger is peak Bond in a lot of ways. And you know, Pussy Galore is a male fantasy of a character, sure, but she's a good, interesting character. She's as fleshed out as a person as Bond or Goldfinger in that movie.
It hits the perfect tone. And for me, like, Casino Royale is right up there. I mean, I would put him almost, you know, like 1A, 1B. Yeah. But I don't think Craig is that charismatic, and that's a big fault of the movie.
That's fair.
I think they went a little too hard in the in this idea of making Bond a brute, and even though he's not as classically misogynist, you know, as Connery is, there's still like it's still there, you know, it's still there. It may not be called out as much, but it's still there. And I just think that charm is what sort of offsets it. And maybe women, you know, women can find it offensive, and I don't want to speak to a female perspective on it, but I feel like it's got enough of a wink to it that you can kind of let it go. But maybe I'm also letting it off the hook a little bit too much for being a product of the times. I mean, it's like allowing your grandfather to be a racist, yeah. You know?
So I think I'm not saying it's a reason you can't love it, and it certainly is peak Bond, but if we're being honest here, and since we're on the record, I think you have to admit, if you're holding that movie up at all, it's never going to live. The whole franchise really is not going to live up to feminist film theory. And there's a ton of, you're totally letting it off like your grandpa, like you said.
Yeah, I guess I am.
I could see a bit of that, but you know, it's not like Pussy Galore isn't an interesting character, even if she is.
Her name's Pussy Galore.
Yes, but her name's Pussy Galore.
Yeah, I mean,
of course it is, as it should be. Damn it, this movie is like a guy's. It's like it's Ian Fleming's wet dream. You know what I mean? It's not fucking supposed to be realistic. You know, it's this heightened, crazy fantasy, and sure. Within that context, she's a good character, even if she's seen through this very male lens.
It's like two different things, though. I mean, if I'm gonna accept that just Bond is a misogynist, and that's who our character is, and it's, you know, we can understand that it's a fault, but it's not treated as a fault in the series. Then I still put Goldfinger number one. But if we're gonna start breaking down into like the actual social repercussions of a movie, then Casino Royale is by far a more modern, a more realistic perspective on male-female relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it's two different things, though. But as a pure Bond and sort of what the template that Bond created, it wasn't as fleshed out in Dr. No. It wasn't as smooth, you know, in From Russia with Love. And then Goldfinger comes around, and it just really nails it. I think if you took maybe this is what, like, the future of Bond. You know, if you take the sort of modern sensibility of it, I think, and you combine the relationships of something like Casino Royale and definitely better female characters like Vesper Lynn, and you combine that with, I think, a tone of the earlier Bonds, or specifically Goldfinger, to me that's kind of like the dream. You know, that's like the best of both worlds.
Yep, I hear you. But just to keep playing the bad guy here, you said, Greg, I think you described, was it From Russia with Love, as like the best like spy movie of the Bonds?
Like detective, yeah. Yeah, I think like it's detective. Got like the most pulpy, like pure movie. Pulpy okay. Detective story to it, you know?
Okay. I was going to ask why that wouldn't put it over Goldfinger then, but I guess you've already kind of answered that. Goldfinger's got all of the classic Bond tropes, and it's still got a little sense of humor to it.
Yeah, it's sort of, I mean, it balances all the different sides of it, right? Because you have like the sort of crazy Austin Powers part of things, right? Which is like secret lairs and a lot of nameless
painting girls
henchmen.
Gold.
Yeah, and then you also have though the sort of smaller smart detective kind of aspect of it, which is what I always gravitate to in general. But you know, when it's done well, it's really fun too on the other end, you know? And I like that Goldfinger sort of just straddles a line before, you know, between the two. Casino Royale, if it was a standalone and if it didn't have that whole maybe last 8 minutes where he's chasing Vesper and then we start opening up the horrible Spectre subplot, I think it'd be a clear number one. But the second it does that to me, it just sort of, you know, it's a Pandora's box. And then we get three shitty films, which brings me to my question. What did you think of the rest of the Craig movies now that we're sort of possibly reaching the end of it?
Actually, yeah, let's go back to that. I meant to say that in the opening. Did you guys go back and watch every single movie for this? That was something that I kept thinking about as a reader. I think that'd be interesting to your readers.
Basically, Yeah, I watched.
Maybe I shouldn't have asked that. It looks like no.
No, I mean, I basically watched like 80% and then ones that I didn't remember, you know, sort of had to go through and, or maybe like pick specific scenes or, you know, things to rehash.
I watched all the first five Connery Bonds. I watched Goldeneye again. I watched Casino Royale like five times again. I watched Spectre, obviously. I watched some of the Dalton and Moore Bonds again. I watched fucking Honor and Majesty's Secret Service. Oh my god. And then the other ones I researched to refresh my memory. I watched a lot of the clips online. I watched I listened to podcasts, read some reviews. So I feel like, and Greg was saying this too, like they're sort of embedded in my brain, a lot of them, because we grew up with these things, and they, in a lot of ways, they like introduce you as a kid to the idea of like what is cool as an adult man, you know, which is like cars, women, and guns.
Right. Reading this list and watching some of the clips you guys put in there, which were super helpful and fun to revisit, probably made me dislike Spectre even more. I just realized how much it was lacking in like fun action scenes.
The train scene.
Yeah, but that was an homage, and which is fine.
Still fun.
Everything about the movie felt like an appropriate way for Sam Mendes to wrap things up, but like as a Bond movie overall, it's not very fun. I still think it's probably better than the second Craig one. What's that called? Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
To kind of finish, to put a bow on how I feel about the Craig tenure, I liked Skyfall better than you guys placed it. I thought that was fun enough to watch. It had enough action in it. All of your criticisms were warranted for sure. And moving forward, it might be nice to see them go back towards a lighter Bond, like a just not so gritty and dark. But yeah, Spectre was pretty bland. I guess bland is the wrong word because it was beautifully shot, cool, you know, production design. I think I told someone it looks like a brand book. Like a lot of these luxury brands,
yeah,
like Rolex will make a Vimeo with like, you know, really cool, well-dressed people. It's basically a catalog in video. That's how Bond is starting to feel in this most recent era. And maybe that's how it differentiates itself from these other. So like you've got Fast and Furious, Mission Impossible, and Bourne all seeming to transition to, they're going to treat their franchise the way Bond has been treating it. And I'm probably getting ahead of myself in the conversation here. But anyway, I feel like that's Bond's struggle now, is to differentiate itself from those franchises.
Chris, what's your history with Bond?
I don't know. I think the first time I thought about that was when you said we were going to try and talk about that today. This kind of goes back to the point I just made. It started out as it's this cool action series, right? Like I just liked them because they were these action movies, and then the added bonus was that this guy James Bond is, you know, kind of this male fantasy. He's suave, he's got all these gadgets. I love the gadgets. That's another thing that's missing in Spectre. But now that's not enough. I can get that, you know, in a number of different places, a number of different franchises. I feel like they're even stepping off the action again in Spectre. So it's missing. How did you guys get into Bond? I feel like it's the same thing for any bunch of white boys from the suburbs, like probably similar background.
Did your dad sit you down with it when you guys were like five or six and just show you Goldfinger? How did you start?
Just show you what a man is supposed to be?
No, he did that.
I mean, that's basically what happened to me. So.
He did that with Deliverance and told us that's why we shouldn't make fun of people we meet in the woods. Anyway.
I saw Deliverance really young too, actually.
Caddyshack was the other one. He sat us down and made us watch that. Bond was similar. I feel like Bond, when we were like in the 90s, they would always come out at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then it was like TBS or someone would run all of the old ones like every night leading up to it. And they would print an article in the Chicago Tribune. So I would sit and watch those with my family or my brother. That's like how I got to see most of the old Bond films.
Yeah, yeah, because we're talking like pre-Netflix, pre-streaming, exactly. Right? That makes me, I mean, just the idea of like a male fantasy and what that's been for like the last, was it 60, Alex, when was the first Bond? 64?
62.
So now 50 years. We're in a very different landscape now than we were, right? And even like the conversation we were just having about the level of misogyny that's acceptable or not. Where do you guys see the future Bond going? And to Chris's point, like when we have a lot of other competition, I mean, I think Bond right now is kind of being squeezed out of a lot of different things. And I wrote this in the Spectre review. He's not as funny as any of the parodies are ever going to be. And he's also not as gritty as, or self-serious, right, as something like the Bourne franchise. It's also not campy, as like campy as Mission Impossible, right? So what can they do to really take this forward? I mean, do we need to start redefining what the ideal man should be?
I think that it should go a little further back, and it should be around like GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies territory, where it's, there's a sense of fun, because it is at its best, aside from Casino Royale, very just intrinsically kind of goofy, and it has all these tropes that I like, and I think that you can riff on forever. So it'd be nice to see something that's serious, but also not too self-serious.
But specifically, what about the Bond character? I mean, where do we take Bond from here?
I think he is a misogynist. He's always been a misogynist. It's been addressed basically since GoldenEye. They've been addressing it off and on. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him being a misogynist and sort of dealing with the consequences of that in a more contemporary universe. But I don't think that's what Eon's going to do. Eon's probably going to try to keep it serious, keep it boring, the character, and surround him with more interesting, you know, girls and gadgets and bad guys to compensate for the fact that they're going to be as sort of safe with him as possible. But that's not what I want. I want him to be sort of an asshole and to sort of see that in a universe where it's not as acceptable, because it's an interesting dynamic. You don't see Jason Bourne, like Jason Bourne has no personality, yeah. Right? He's super smart and he's really good at kicking people, but he's not a person. You know,
he's a cipher for us to go on those spy adventures, right? So we right. can almost it's but almost like a theme park ride through those action scenes.
And Bond always had this personality, right. You know, he likes he's sort of an alcoholic, right? You know, he drinks all the time. He loves his suits. He loves his cars. Like, he enjoys fucking up Q's gadgets. Like, that's sort of – he gets some sort of sick pleasure out of always fucking up, you know, any Q tricked out car or any exploding pen, whatever. And he likes sort of tallying up the ladies.
We're looking at these movies and sort of – and the kind of audiences that people – you know, that they attract. I mean, do you think it's going to continue just the same? It sounds like you do. It sounds like you think it's going to sort of just be the same, you know, level that we're getting right now with Daniel Craig.
I'm worried that that's what they're going to keep doing. I think that they have to, first of all, they have to get better with the action scenes. Yep. I actually liked Spectre's action more than you guys did. I thought the Day of the Dead scene was really cool, and I thought the train scene was obviously a From Russia with Love callback, but I enjoyed that. And I think Sam Mendes is still the wrong choice. Those scenes were good. The rest of it wasn't particularly well shot, especially that Alps car chase thing. That was pretty boring. I think that you need a real action director to give it a visual style. And I think that they should look more internationally. I think they should look at Hong Kong directors. I was saying in our article, I think Sweetheart could be a great choice. He did a lot of cool Jean-Claude Van Damme movies after he did his Hong Kong stuff, and he's back to doing Hong Kong plus Jean-Claude Van Damme, basically. But he has a really good visual sensibility, and he does a lot of interesting things. Like, in one movie, he has a shot that's like a POV shot of a foot going into a shoe. He has a shot that's a point of view shot of like this chainmail as it's hitting people. I don't know. The point is, like, he thinks of things in a cool way, and he maps out action much better than any Bond director outside of Martin Campbell. So I think that you have to start there. You have to start with the director being better, and you have to make movies like 90 minutes, not 2.5 hours, you know, especially when the plots are so silly anyway. It doesn't have to be this long, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Bond should be – he should still be Bond in that he has taste. He has personality. He's super smart, and he's slightly – misogynistic, and he has weird proclivities. He has his drink. It's just, it gives him a flavor that someone like anybody in the Avengers, aside from maybe Tony Stark, I guess, or fucking Jason Bourne or Ethan Hunt, like those characters have no personality. Right. So if you take that away from Bond, you're really like losing a lot, because if you emphasize Bond's shortcomings and weird preferences, that's the strength of the character. Is that he is a character.
So I just want to, yeah. Chris, I'm going to throw this over to you, but just so you know, and you haven't listened to our other podcasts, but I kind of like to always fuck with Alex by bringing up gender relations, because it really throws him for a loop every time.
This explains my...
It's got a real hard time, talking about...
So I guess I opened with a fastball when I brought up the feminist critique of Goldfinger.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. I want to plug that Playboy interview that I found that Sean Connery did on the set of You Only Live Twice.
Sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to check that
he
out.
He says some bonkers things, and I mean, if you're going to talk about any sort of... feminist film theory, I mean, he doesn't make very, very great cases, you know, for his movies.
Yeah.
A lot of fun to read. You guys should check that out.
I think Alex is right. What makes Bond different from all these other action franchises is his personality and his suits and his gadgets. So whatever they do, I think what makes the most sense is to lean into that, because it's what keeps them different. And then I also agree that they've got to find a director who understands action. The only thing I'd say about that is, when I read your guys' picks for directors, and you know directors better than I do, I started to wonder if it was a joke, because there are all these, like, they're Jean-Claude Van Damme directors and like, I don't know, guys who directed Alien versus Predator or something.
I didn't have that. No.
So my question was, I actually skipped that part of the article when I was reading at work. but when we talked about directors last night over email, I had actually decided Guy Ritchie should be the guy, or the best guess I could make, before I read that one of you guys actually laughed that off as not making sense. I'm not in a hurry to see him do it, but he seems like, I like what he did with Sherlock Holmes. I haven't seen Man from U.N.C.L.E. yet, but that seems like he's almost building his resume to be the next Bond guy.
He actually, I was laughing it off just because he's so over the top, right? But I guess I was just saying just now that Sweetheart, who is over the top, would be a good choice. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme has horrible screenplays but good directors. That's basically been the case forever. And he always has a good eye for a director in terms of what they bring to it visually. But
what about...
But yeah, I think...
I don't really know those guys. So I'm more interested in why not Guy Ritchie? I guess you did say he's over the top, so...
But I mean, like, Man from U.N.C.L.E. is basically an old Bond movie shot for today.
Right? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's what you're getting at is you want... Bring back some of that, you know... Sort of like the way they do the Heineken ads... that was going to be the other director I threw out as a curveball, Tom Kuntz.
Yeah.
Well, the way they do the Bond, they shoot those like an old Bond movie. The production design looks like it's from the 60s a little bit, and they use kind of the same technology for the action scenes. I don't know if I would go that far, but that seems like what you guys are getting at, and I feel like Guy Ritchie could do that. And he has a great sense of humor, but an incredible grasp over action scenes. I'm not trying to sound like a homer for Guy Ritchie, but...
No, I actually
need to work.
I really like, okay, I'm gonna throw in another ingredient into our dream Bond movie, right? So if we, because it's so funny you brought up the Heineken commercials, because I was talking to my roommate yesterday about it. I was like, this is what it should have been, you know, like, because it pops up all the time now, right? Anytime you watch something,
Yeah, he's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, commercial directors. He does all the cool shit. Yeah. The other thing about like him what? Is most, I mean, he did the Old Spice stuff. I'm sure he's done some of the most interesting Man in the World stuff for Dos Equis, maybe.
He did the DirecTV ones, you know, too.
The other, yeah, exactly.
The good ones?
Yes, anything good. I mean, I'll send you guys his reel, and I know that doesn't help the podcast. He's done all the good stuff, and including some stuff that people who aren't in advertising might not recognize, but like has won our biggest award in the industry, which is a Cannes Lion. Uh-huh. So he's the hottest shit. The only thing about him is most of the hot commercial directors eventually try and do features, and I don't know that he has, which I wonder, and this is going to sound ignorant if he has, but I wonder if that means he knows he's not, he couldn't make the leap into a feature. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to direct 30 to 120 seconds of, you know, a chase scene and, you know, make a bunch of winking nods to old Bond movies. It's another to actually try and tell a story over 2 hours.
Sure.
He directed part of the Onion movie, which is not seen by me, although there is a pretty funny Steven Seagal trailer, like a fake trailer in that movie. But he walked away from it he had creative differences with the producers, so he's not officially the director of that. So I won't really count that. That would be the only time he was dabbling in features.
Yeah, see, that to me just, I don't know, here's an interview on Esquire saying he's developing one. But, you know, I'd love to see him take a crack at it, but he might not, he might be more suited for the 30-second world.
But, okay, so if you have someone like Guy Ritchie, who sort of puts in like a, kind of like a retro flair to it, then, to offset that, Black Bond. Idris Elba.
Yeah,
this is the one I'd love to see. We bring him in with Guy Ritchie, and we, you know, and we fuck with the sort of timeline of it.
Fast. Absolutely. I've been pro Idris Elba since someone mentioned it to me after Skyfall, and I guess people have been talking about it before that. The only thing is, I went back to look at it for this conversation, I wonder if he's getting too old. Like, maybe he should have been Bond instead of Daniel Craig.
I think
he might be, unfortunately. He might be too old.
It does seem like he's 42, I believe. And he doesn't look 42. That's the one thing. Daniel Craig looks older than he is.
Oh, you think he looks older?
Yeah. I think Daniel Craig looks way older than Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
I think Idris Elba looks like he's mid-30s, maybe. You know what I mean? So if he can keep that up, maybe. You know, Tom Cruise looks like he's 35, and he's 53. So
I also don't know. In my search, I couldn't find anyone else I'd rather be Bond.
Well, let me throw out another name. Chiwetel Ejiofor. British?
Ooh.
Is he British?
Yeah. British, black, and he's 38.
And he's a great actor.
He's a Craig great actor. When Craig took he's a over. Great actor. Yeah.
I have to. I'm sorry. This is terrible. I have to look up a picture of him.
Well, you're gonna. You'll recognize.
He's 12 years a slave.
Yeah, I know. I gotta like picture it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully, when you Google him, he's only in suits and has a few bow ties on. So.
Right. Yeah. That does help.
Chris, would you want to see Bond going backwards, or do you have like an idea of a more progressive, futuristic version of it?
What's Bond going backwards?
Like sort of like a little bit retro.
Do we go back
more
in time?
No, but sort of in the, I guess, towards the sort of lighter, you know, a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
A little bit more of the Pierce Brosnan kind of, you know, Connery.
I do like the balance that those Bonds struck. They felt modern. Like, I don't know that I want it to be retro, because part of the appeal to Bond, for me personally anyway, is that he's got all this, like, he's got slick, badass cars. He's suave and cool and wears suits that are cut in a way that I think is cool. So, yeah, I don't know if it's retro, but I do like that the Brosnan Bonds seem to want to strike that balance of lots of cool action scenes, some hot chicks, and all the story serving to get him to, you know, the next action scene and also hopefully spending some time on a cool villain. I thought, what's his name? Ethan something? The the guy that the guy in Tomorrow Never Dies. I thought that was a great villain. You guys didn't like him, but I thought he was cool.
Elliot Carver. I actually didn't mind him. He's basically just sort of an evil Rupert Murdoch who looks like he got his wardrobe from a Sharper Image catalog.
It hasn't aged super well, but at the time I thought like that was cool.
He was pretty fun. I didn't mind him. He was way better than the bad guys in World Is Not Enough or Die Another Day.
I actually like that Tomorrow Never Dies is your favorite of those ones. I think that's a good choice. The problem to me, and I think I mentioned it in my section, was it just now, I think, maybe because we live in such a constant news, you know, cycle, it just feels outdated. You know, I mean, it seems like something that would be more current in a way to do today in like a bigger way, you know, but I don't hate it for that reason. I mean, I think it works, you know. At the end of the day, it's like they found an interesting way to make it about financial gains. And I'm always about, if it's just a guy who wants to be rich, let's go with that, you know. It's the oldest motivation, right, in the book. Right. So let's just do it. It's easy.
That's another thing, too, with the bad guys. I like when the bad guys, like you were saying when we were counting down the top eight, it's cool when they're motivated by money, and it's cool when, like with Lashif, he's motivated by fear. They should figure out a way to continue that trend with the villains, you know, where they are not, you know, just out there for world domination. I think that would be
well. That's why Blofeld sucked for this. I mean,
yes,
that scene when they're having their fucking board meeting and they're giving their reports on all the different. Things that are happening, and the woman's like, and in Asia, we have the sex slave, you know, trade is going well, and our profits are never been higher. I mean, it's so stupid, you know, just make it about a guy trying to make money, you know, and I'll buy that 100 times over.
I totally agree with you guys. As I was watching that scene, I was like, wait, is this really where this movie's going to go?
Yeah.
But I do have to say, for a scene that has been in a countless other movies, the way they shot it felt super cool and ominous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And
yeah.
Very, very Eyes Wide Shut.
Yes, that exactly. Scene,
the whole build up to it, I'm like, oh, this feels just like Eyes Wide Shut. This could be, they could have gone so many crazy places with that, but where it ended up was unsatisfying, obviously.
It's kind of weird that like that's the closest that we've ever seen James Bond get to a sex party. After 25
years. Yeah, that's a good point.
In 50 years. How have we not really seen him in like a full-blown just gangbang orgy, you know, at this point?
Could they sexualize him more? Like, that's a big element of his character, too. Like, that he's just, like, such a player.
They desexualized him in the Craig versions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong approach.
Or, if they're going to do it, like, I also thought he should have stayed away from Lea Seydoux, like protected her. She, in the first scene where they're in the bedroom together, I was like, he looks like he could be her dad, or definitely more like her older brother. He should, if they're gonna do this whole new Bond thing, new Bond should actually protect this woman instead of trying to fuck her. And they didn't do that, which is, you know, they're making a Bond movie. I'm not gonna be up in arms. I just thought that would have been refreshing and interesting.
But that is also, I mean, that's a huge sign of the times. I mean, I feel like women in general, you look at older photos of like a 25-year-old or a man at 30, and they looked 45 and 35, you know, like in the 60s and 70s. Today, a guy who is 50 and looks 50 looks so much older than a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
And she's 30, by the way. She just looks young.
She's 30.
Lea Seydoux, she's 30.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm like, as a viewer, just that was an honest emotion I felt immediately from, like, once we got into that scene. It's like, he looks too old. I wonder if he'll actually look out for her like he said he was going to do. Didn't he make a promise to the guy?
Yeah, and he did look out for her. He also looked out for himself, trying to get in there, so... I agree. I think Monica Bellucci was an interesting choice because she's 50 and Craig's 47. So finally, he does have an age-appropriate lady in this movie.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's
they
could have
done so much more with
series.
Her too. That was another like beautiful scene, and she is super hot. Super. But yeah, she kind of, he's like, here, call. He didn't even say to call Felix Leiter, did he?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, the UN will protect
right.
you.
Right, I was like, here's whatever. This is a total Felix Leiter moment. At least drop his name. Didn't yeah. you?
Yeah, they totally...
Yeah, he wasn't in this, was
they
he?
They dumped him after Quantum of Solace, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't remember him in Skyfall either. That's a good
I just
point.
Feel like in another, in a classic Bond, he would say, call Felix, he'll take care of you. I knew, like, she was probably going to be out of the story, but if you need another spy to help him out, it should be Felix.
Can we just talk about how, Greg, your favorite Felix Leiter is the Thunderball one? I think that's a very good choice. I like that.
Rick Van Nutter, man.
Stage name.
I don't remember enough Felix Leiters to really answer that. He's in Live and Let Die, right? At some point?
Yeah.
So that'll be my favorite, because I love Live and Let Die.
There's no Q in Live and Let Die, but otherwise everyone's there. So wait, talk about Live and Let Die for a second.
I think you hit all the stuff in your review. It's just got awesome music, obviously. I forgot about the opening scene in New Orleans, which is way better than the one in Spectre.
I agree.
Boat chase is sick, and Jane Seymour looking hotter than ever. That was another, like, that was a childhood moment of, because my brother, for some inexplainable reason, would watch Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, and I didn't take much notice of Jane Seymour in those, and this is terrible to say, but yeah, when I was at 10 or 13, whatever it was, and I saw Jane Seymour, and I was like, that's Jane Seymour?
Yeah.
That was a big moment for me growing up and turning into a man.
Yeah, James Bond has always been in the forefront of that. Like, Famke Janssen, I was like, what? Why do I want to watch this?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What is
on
this
here?
Change that's happening to me? Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's a big part of why Bond might be so important, too. There's a lot of, like, boys watching it, you know? I don't know.
But that's why it's so important to sort of really make sure that, that it's done right? That it can still be entertaining, still be somehow progressive, or at least if it's going to make the wrong portrayal of masculinity, that it's going to call it out. Or, you know, do something to suggest that, like,
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think Pierce Brosnan for me was like a really good sort of even-keeled model, you know, as a man, as like a little kid and a little boy who just wanted to, you know, play. And like, there was nothing that, and I guess part of that is too, like the women in that are pretty tough, you know, you don't get a sense that he's just dealing with damsels in distress.
Right.
Especially Michelle Yeoh in Tomorrow Never Dies.
She's fucking hard ass, you know. Cool. All right, guys. I think we should wrap it up because we're in almost 50 minutes here. Alex, you got any final points?
One thing. Can we just do really quickly everybody's top three James Bond actors? Obviously, Sean Connery's number one. Yes? We're all agreed?
Sure.
Agreed, Chris? Of course.
Yeah. He is James Bond, like you said, playing Bond himself.
Exactly. And let's go with number two and number three, because I think we're all going to have different opinions on it.
I'll go ahead. Number two for me is Brosnan.
And so
awesome.
And so Craig is three?
Craig would be three. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd say they're neck and neck for me. I might take Craig over Brosnan.
Huh. See, but you guys both don't like any of his movies aside from Casino Royale, which is admittedly the best Bond not named Goldfinger, in my opinion, and Greg's. So
that's true, but it wasn't, and I'm not as good at, like, judging a performance, but it wasn't because of Daniel Craig that I didn't like those movies. I just felt like the story they were telling wasn't that fun, and I liked that Daniel Craig feels he can look really good in a suit, but he also is an imposing presence on screen. Like, he looks tough, like he could beat someone up. Pierce Brosnan looks kind of like a wuss sometimes.
He's a pretty boy, yeah.
Alex, who are your top three?
one is Connery, of course. Two is Brosnan. And, like, the more that I think about it, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I think three is more.
No, because that's fair.
Craig was in one great Bond movie and one mediocre one and two horrible Bond movies. And Roger Moore was in four good Bond movies and three really bad ones, but two of those are pretty fun to watch. And I can't get through of you, Akil. It's so boring. But, I mean, I did. I finished it, but man, ugh. And so, yeah, I just, you know, Roger Moore, like peak Roger Moore was pretty solid. Live and Let Die is a great movie. The Spy Loved Me, very good movie. Man with the Golden Gun, very good movie. You Only Live, For Your Eyes Only, you know, pretty darn good movie.
So, yeah, from...
And he's a part of that.
From the resume point of view that you're taking there, I can understand that. And I didn't even... I thought I liked Roger Moore, but when I watched the clips you guys had of him, he cannot fight. His fight scenes are so fake. It gets worse. So.
Yeah. He just...
As he gets older, it gets bad.
He does his own... I mean, you know, he's got six movies, so he certainly embodies the character in his own way, right? But
he's got seven.
It's just like he's just not... Or seven, Jesus. It's just not, I just don't like his version of it, you know? So it can't be top three for me.
But Live and Let Die, Roger Moore, like, that's pretty cool. I think he's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Oh, and and the scene where he tricks, and again, this is terrible for gender politics, but the scene where he tricks Jane Seymour with the cards, I was like, that's James Bond. That embodies James Bond so well.
Yeah, it's the character too. That's not the movie saying that's the right thing to do. That's the character being an asshole to get laid.
Yeah, and so I like when he also gets, like, you know, Terry Hatcher slaps James when she sees him because he's mistreated her. So
she's there is like I also don't want to go like full. I mean, I don't want to completely castrate the character right going forward.
No,
that is I just think the movies have to be clear on sort of what they're saying about the character, you know? It can't be... He can still do all those things, but we just can't be... we can't be congratulating him for them.
Like, yeah.
Completely.
Like I just did.
And that's...
Well, but that, you know. Well, I mean, that was just a good moment, though. That's just a good scene.
It's like, oh, James is devil.
Yeah.
Sort of. That's our James.
But just so, like, we always want to keep a part of that, and I think a lot of women would agree. Although I don't want to, you know, totally jump on that, but you know, there's a nice, a really nice line, you know, to hit that I think most people can be happy with.
And I think Guy Ritchie, to your point, Chris, would be good for that because of with Sherlock Holmes, he emphasized the fact that Holmes has a drug problem, you know, so. Maybe he would be able to keep James Bond's woman problem in there and treat it sort of as it is, as an element of the character.
Yeah, he knows how to evoke sympathy in the faults, right? Yeah. Without demonizing or definitely. I'm in, guys. Let's write it and send it. Guy Ritchie directing, Chiwetel Ejiofor, or if we can get it done in the next year, Idris Elba.
Love it. I'm in.
Down. Tom Cootes also is a very good choice as a director.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
Film core. Vodka martini. Shaken. Not stirred. And for you?
The same.
How do you take it?
Straight up. With a twist. Thank you, Mr.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Xenia Sergeyevna Onatop.
Onatop?
Onatop.
Your accent, Georgian?
Very good, Mr. Bond. You've been to Russia?
Not recently. I used to drop in occasionally. Shoot in and out.